We are going to turn our attention to the Word of God this morning. For a few weeks, we have been looking at the subject called standing up. If you remember, we have already gone through 5 different sermons on standing up. In a day and age when people are refusing to stand up for what they believe, the Lord wants us to stand up. We started with standing up against the enemy from Ephesians chapter 6. Then we looked into the story of Abraham. As we looked into the topic, standing up before God in intercession. The third time we looked into the story of Jacob, where we looked into standing up before others in reconciliation. The fourth was, we looked into the life of Joseph as we discussed on standing up for integrity. And the last time, we looked at the story of Daniel and his 3 friends, where we looked into standing up for our faith. Hallelujah. Today we are going to look at the topic, standing up to lead others to Christ. We are going to look in the ministry of John the Baptist. And for this, I want you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. We are going to read a few verses. I will read from my Bible. You also follow me with whatever language that you have. We are going to look at John the Baptist, the ministry of John the Baptist. Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of chapter 1. And this is how it reads in my Bible. It's a New King James Version. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Let's turn to the Lord for a minute and ask the Lord, "Lord, you speak to me through this word this morning, that I can stand up to lead others to Christ. I can show a direction for others to come to Christ through my words, through my life, through my attitude, that my life will totally revolve around Christ and Him alone, because He is the one for whom I exist." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you, Father Lord, for the wonderful words of testimony we have heard about the healing power of God. Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, I pray that you speak to us this morning. I pray that you restore us, Lord. Many of us are ashamed to speak about you to other people. Many of us are silent Christians who do not have the boldness to speak and say that they are a child of God, because they will be accountable before others. I pray that today you speak to us about your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit may touch each and every one of us this morning. We bless your name. In the most precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Please be seated in God's presence. The Gospel of Mark is the first gospel to be written in the New Testament. And the story begins with a man called John the Baptist. The ministry of John the Baptist is a hinge between 2 eras of God's dealing with people. On the one side, it is the old age of the law and the new age of the grace. Between the old age and the new age, John the Baptist stands in the hinge as he comes to the scene suddenly in the New Testament. In fact, when we understand about John the Baptist, he is a fulfillment of three prophecies of the Old Testament. And I want us to look into those prophecies. The first one, let's turn our attention to Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 3 to 5, 700 years before John the Baptist came into the picture, this is what the prophet Isaiah had prophesied. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5, and this is what it's written. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Exactly the fulfillment we read verbatim in Luke's Gospel chapter 3. When you look to verses 4 to 6, exactly the same verse, Luke has quoted the words from Isaiah when he was speaking about John the Baptist. Now, what was the John the Baptist described by? He was not a man of education. He was not a man of letters. In fact, when Isaiah prophesied, the only thing that Isaiah spoke about John was that he was a voice crying in the wilderness. That is a description of John the Baptist. He came to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And it says, what he would do is, every valley he will fill up. Every mountain he will bring down. Every crooked path he will make straight. And every rough places he will make smooth. So John had a powerful ministry when he came before Jesus. It was to level the playing field. The rich, the poor, the weak, the strong, the religious, the non-religious, John the Baptist would preach a message that would cut everybody down in whatever areas they are, so that everyone would see the salvation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A powerful man who came to the scene. Let me take you to the next word of prophecy. Turn with me to Malachi. Malachi moon in there. Chapter 3 verse 1. Where the Old Testament closes with a prophecy like this. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek, and suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Here, John the Baptist is described as a messenger of God. He says he is going to prepare the way of the Lord. We see that in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 2, the passage that we read. Exactly, it is a quote from this place. But then I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1. In verse number chapter 1, when you turn to Luke chapter 1, before John was born, his father Zacharias prophesied about his son. And this is what he says in verse number 76. Lukos 1:76-77. Luke chapter 1 verses 76 and 77. And this is his own father prophesying about his son of what his purpose is. He says, you child will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. And then, this is what I wanted to mark in your Bible. If you have a pen, I would strongly recommend, mark this. What was the ministry of John the Baptist? It's written like this in verse number 77. To give knowledge of salvation to his people. By the remission of their sins. to give knowledge of the salvation of the people, to prepare the way. And this is why John came to the scene. Finally, there's one more prophecy I want you to look into. Malachi chapter 4. Turn back to Malachi chapter 4, the last part of Malachi, how the Old Testament ends. This is what is written. And this is written specifically about John the Baptist. It says in verse number chapter 4 verses 5 and 6 like this. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Another major responsibility of John the Baptist was turning people back to God. Not only turning people back to God, turning the families back to one another. I don't know why he does not describe about the mothers, but says about the fathers. Turn the fathers back to their children, and turn the hearts of the children back to their fathers. Many times our young people grow up with a feeling that they know, once they cross some 14, 15 years, they think they know more than their parents. They treat their parents with contempt. They don't want to listen to what the parents say. But let me tell you, God has placed parents within a family structure so that children can learn from them, can learn the experience from the parents, and the parents can teach the children. I want to tell to every young person, every girl, learn from your mothers what she went through. Learn something that you will use in your life. And to the boys, learn from your fathers. He has a lot of experience that he can share in many different things. You know, I see an age when people go into college and they don't even have any relationship with their parents. All day long they are in the room, or they are outside with their friends. They don't spend time with their families at all. But what the Lord wants is that the parents, the fathers with the children, more specifically their sons, the mothers with their daughters, there should be an interaction. And John the Baptist, he came, and this was one of his extraordinary work, is to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, and turn the fathers back to the children. We see that in Luke chapter 1, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and verses 16 and 17, this is again what the angel of the Lord speaks to Zacharias when he appears before him. And this is what the angel says, the angel Gabriel. Verse number 16. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. A great task that God has put on one person. Don't you think so? You know, John the Baptist was the last of the great people of the Old Testament. He was the ending of the Old Testament era. In fact, he was a cousin of Jesus. He was 6 months older than Jesus. And if you look at his background, if you look to Luke chapter 1, he was the son of a priest. His father's name was Zacharias. And he was a priest of the temple of God. So ordinarily, if you think in the line of hierarchy, the son of a priest would not be a prophet. He would be a priest. So John, by nature of his vocation or his ministry, would have become a priest in the temple of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He would be burning incense in this temple. And that's what his father was doing when he had the revelation from the angel. But you know, there was something extraordinary that happened one time when Zacharias was burning incense. The angel came to them. You see in Luke chapter 1, when you read from 5 to 11, you see the story, the background of John the Baptist. Both his parents were old. His wife Elizabeth was barren. She did not have a child. This was one of the prayers that was not answered by God. And they were saying, "Why God, why don't we have a child? We have been righteous before you. I have been a priest in your temple. All my life we have served you. Why don't you give us a son?" And you know what? God had a great plan for him. Because while Elizabeth was barren, as we see in verse number 7, and they were both advanced in years, they were both old, there was no way humanly that they would have a son. But God gave them a son in their old age. While the ministry was going on inside the temple, the angel appeared and told Zacharias, "Your prayers are heard." I want to tell to some people who are praying for certain matters, if you have not got an answer, you know, when your answer comes, the blessing will be manifold. It will be a great blessing that you cannot even think about. Hallelujah. How many of you believe? Can you lift up your hands and bless the Lord? If your prayers are not answered today, do not fear. Continue to pray till the fulfillment of the answer is happening in this world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, like Samson in the Old Testament, the angel told in verse number 15 that this son should not drink any wine or strong liquor because he shall be a Nazarene. And then again, one more thing, very striking. If you turn with me to verse number 15, it says, "He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." The prophecy that the angel said. Do you know that it was realized? Turn to 41, verse number 41. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, walked into Elizabeth's house, it says that when Elizabeth heard the greeting from Mary, the babe in her womb leaped up and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A child that was filled with the Holy Spirit even when the child was in the mother's womb. This child had a great destiny. And I'm telling you, some of us have great destiny and God has a plan. If you reject the plan of God, God will take you through different places. He will accomplish His purpose in your life. Hallelujah. He had a clear mandate regarding His ministry. Do you know what happened? I believe that when he was young, the Holy Spirit that was in him told him, "Hey, I cannot continue. You cannot continue in Jerusalem. You need to go out to the wilderness." So when you turn to Luke chapter 1 verse 18, I want you to look at that verse. Luke chapter 1 verse 18. It says that the child, and I want all the young people to look at this verse. It says the child grew and became strong in the spirit. And then it says, and he was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. This child left Jerusalem, left the greatness of a city, at hearing the voice of God, he was led by the Holy Spirit to go into the deserts, even when he was young. This is something I never knew before, but when I was reading this word of God, my mind was so thrilled. Look at the person who is ready to stand. And what was his ministry? Lead people to Jesus. That's all. Prepare the way. Lead people to Jesus. That was all the ministry of John. Till he became public in Israel, he was in the desert. Do you know the ministry of John the Baptist was only for 3 years, just like Jesus Christ. From 27 to 29 AD, 27, 28 and 29, 3 years was the ministry of John the Baptist. But do you know, his life was extraordinary. Turn with me back to Mark, where we started our portion. His clothing was different. He was not the same as others. What was he clothed in? Verse number 6, he was wearing camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist.
What was the food that he was eating? He was eating locusts and wild honey. He was not eating the feast of a king. He had a separate diet. He had a separate clothing. And then what was he preaching? He was preaching the repentance, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He had a message to tell people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. He was telling everybody, repent. What is repent? Is turn your life around. You are going somewhere, and he was saying, repent, turn your life back to God. Turn your life around. That was the message of John the Baptist. Do you know when John the Baptist was alive? Do you know that there were about 7 prominent leaders in Judea? Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. I know I'm taking you through some Bible verses, but you need to be convinced about the work of God. It doesn't matter if you have a big title, but if you are used by God, you may be a nobody, but you will be somebody when God starts using you. You know, in those times, turn to Luke chapter 3. There were 7 prominent leaders who exercised control over the Jewish society. Number 1, there was Tiberius Caesar, the Roman emperor. Number 2, there was Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judah. And then there were 3 regional tetrarchs, Herod, Philip, and Lysanias. There were 3 tetrarchs living there. And there were 2 high priests, Annas and Caiaphas. 7 people who had the total control of the society of that time. But do you know what the word of God says? While they were all there, in verse number 2, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. God left all these big leaders, went to one unknown person in the wilderness and gave his word and said, you need to go and preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, God will use unlikely people for his purposes. You think that you are a nobody? I'm telling you, if you put yourself in the hand of God, God can use you mightily. Brother, sister, wherever you are, you may not be a big preacher, but wherever you are, if you say, Lord, use me, he's going to use you mightily. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was his ministry? Leading people to Jesus. What was he preaching? He preached against sin. Do you know what he called the Pharisees and Sadducees? You brood of vipers. Sarpa sandadigale. These days I don't hear a single preacher preaching like this. If I preach tomorrow, you will pack my bags and let me go back to Atlanta. I cannot preach. We cannot preach. We have to, not hurt anybody. Oh, that brother got hurt. No. He did not even care about anybody. He would look straight in the face and say, you snake. That's what he was saying. You snake. You bunch of snakes. You are deceiving the people. He was a man who stood by his message and he preached the word of God without any fear.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He stood up for what he was sent for by God. Amen. He was somebody, a voice in the wilderness, without a nameplate, but he had a message that he would speak to the people. Amen. Turn from your sins. The main text is given in Matthew. When you turn to Matthew chapter 3, that is where John the Baptist's ministry is described more. I didn't want to read through it because there's a lot of stuff here. But maybe when you go home, if you have time, I want you to look to Matthew chapter 3. Here it says about how he preached. His message was direct and very hard. He told people to repent from their sins. He told people to bear the fruit of repentance. We are saying we are repenting, but our life does not reflect that we are a child of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We need to bear the fruits of our repentance. Hallelujah. Our words, our actions, our talk,
our deal, our priorities
yes.
should show that we are a child of God.
Hallelujah.
We are God's children and we need to bear the fruit of our repentance. Then he also warned the people of the coming judgment. Matthew chapter 3 verse 10, he said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut and thrown into the fire. Do you know even today the message is true? God is expecting good fruit from our life. Are we bearing fruit for the Lord?
Hallelujah.
If you don't do, one day the axe is going to be laid.
Amen.
And God is going to be judging us. So basically John the Baptist was the first Baptist preacher to preach also about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look to Matthew 3 verse 11. He said, I am baptizing you with water, but somebody is coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Wow. What a message. He became great in the sight of God. Jesus had to say about John the Baptist, among the sons of men, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. Because of his extraordinary life and his ministry. He prepared the hearts of people so that they would receive Christ and he would reign over them. Do you also know that John the Baptist was the first martyr to die for the cause of God's kingdom in the New Testament? He was killed by King Herod. He had a short life and ministry. He was killed and his head was brought because of what he stood for. So not only was his life extraordinary, but I also want to say one more point before I close here. His attitude was also extraordinary. Turn with me to John's Gospel again. John chapter 3. I want us all to pay attention to what the Word of God is telling. John chapter 3. Verse number 26 onwards, when you read that passage. Some of the disciples of John the Baptist came. In verse number 26, it said, oh teacher, do you know that Jesus, they're talking about Jesus, the one to whom you have testified, he's baptizing and everybody's going to him, you know? So what is happening is that when Jesus started his ministry, John's ministry started going down, as it happens. So John's ministry started going down and people started going to Jesus. Even his own disciples left him and went to Jesus, we know in the stories. But the beauty of how John's attitude is what I want to tell you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. John was made aware, look, all are going to Jesus. Nobody's coming to our camp. You are holding this crusade, but people are all going to Jesus' crusade. They are all going there. How did John respond? Look, I want you to pay attention. Verse number 27 to 29. John the Baptist speaking about himself. And then from verse 29 to verse number 36, he's speaking about Jesus. What did John the Baptist say? Number one, he said that every person has a ministry given by God. We don't have to be jealous on anybody who is doing well. We all have a ministry. Don't worry, brother. Somebody else may be doing good, making big churches, having big pulpits, doing television ministry. Don't worry about that. We all have a ministry that is given to us by God. Verse number 27. Then he said in verse number 28, that my ministry is that I will be a witness. I will be a forerunner. I was sent before Jesus. That was my ministry. And then in verse number 29, he speaks something beautiful. He says that Jesus, if you imagine this to be a wedding, Jesus is the bridegroom and I am the friend of the bridegroom. So for me, I find joy when the bridegroom is happy. Hallelujah.
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 I am rejoicing because Jesus is doing well. There was no kind of jealousy that John the Baptist had. His joy came because Jesus was successful. Hallelujah. He rejoiced in the fact that his role was secondary.
Amen.
He was just a friend. He was just below. He was happy with that. And he was being content that he was a voice in the wilderness. He was a friend of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But look at verse number 30. I want all of you to look at verse number 30. John chapter 3. This was his attitude of John the Baptist. What did he say? He must increase and I must decrease. Hallelujah. Can you all repeat after me? He must increase, but I must decrease. Can one more time? Can we all say together? He must increase, but I must decrease. This should be our attitude, brothers and sisters. Every day, Jesus must increase in our life. He should be number one priority. It should not be our desires, our needs. Jesus must increase. What is his role? His role was to lead people towards Christ. And that is our role today. We need to lead people to Christ. Let me conclude here. Hallelujah. There are five principles that we can learn from John the Baptist. Number one, each of us have a role to fulfill. Our ministry is a privilege that God has given us. And we should be faithful to our ministry even unto death. Because we are part of the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people may be the feet, some may be the hands, some may be some other part, but we all belong to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Number two, our role is to introduce people to Jesus by preaching the gospel. This is what Jesus has told. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just like John the Baptist did. Number three, our joy is fulfilled when we faithfully serve Him and He gets all the glory. Yes. Amen? Amen. Remember our worship song that we sang earlier? He gets all the glory. Hallelujah. Let Jesus get all the glory from our life. Hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands and bless the Lord? Lord, let you get all the glory from whatever we do. Number four, in all our life and action, and listen to me very carefully, we should attract people to Christ and not to ourselves. Did you hear me? In our life and actions, remember, attract people to Christ and not to ourselves. Many times, we try to attract people to ourselves. We think we are handsome, we are beautiful, we are good looking, we have all these degrees. Nothing matters. We need to attract people to Christ. And finally, in all our interaction with people and our attitude, we should recognize and give glory to God alone. In everything, let God get the glory. For Christ to increase, ourselves should decrease in a daily basis. We need to serve God with humility. Just like a candle that is burning brightly, let us burn. But as the candle becomes smaller and smaller as it is burning, the more brightly we burn for Jesus, let ourselves become smaller and smaller as the days go by. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I want to close this with a small story that I think the kids would also like it. So let me tell a story and close it here. Praise the Lord. Many times we think we want to do something great and we want to be somebody big, but God can use us in different measures. I want to tell you the story of three trees. There were three trees that was in the mountaintop in Judea. All the three trees, each of them had a dream, and it's a fictitious story, by the way, so you know, I don't know how trees can dream, but each of these trees had a dream. The first tree wanted to hold treasure and be covered with gold and be filled with precious stones. That tree wanted to be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world. The second tree wanted to be traveling the mighty waters and carry powerful kings. Wanted to be the strongest ship in the world. And the third tree, he did not want to leave the mountaintop. He said, I want to grow tall so that when they look at me, they will think about God. So he wanted to be the tallest tree of the world. Do you know, one day the woodcutters came and started cutting down the trees. The first tree that wanted to hold the treasure and be covered with gold and be filled with precious stone, the woodcutter cut the tree and took the tree to a carpenter. And the carpenter made that tree to be a feed box for animals to feed out of. And so instead of gold and precious jewels, That feed box was full of sawdust and hay. Praise God. Hallelujah. But do you know that one night, that feed box was in an inn in Bethlehem, and the baby Jesus was placed in that as the greatest treasure of the world. Hallelujah. Even though outwardly you look at just hay is there, but the precious baby was kept in that manger, in that feed box that the tree dreamt about. So when we think about something, God has something different in our lives. The second tree who wanted to travel the waters and become a strong ship, this was taken to a shipyard. Instead of a big ship, the tree was made into a small fishing boat and taken to the lake. And do you know that when Jesus came to preach, he took that boat, he stood up on that boat, and he preached the word of God to the people. Not only that, he slept in that boat, and when the storms came, Jesus stood in that boat and said, "Peace, be still." Hallelujah. When the tree wanted to be the biggest ship, the Lord made it the smallest fishing boat, but he carried the master, the King of Kings. Amen. And the Lord of Lords. The last tree, who did not want to leave the mountain, he was also cut down into two beams and kept in a lumber yard. And one day, the soldiers came and picked up the two wooden beams, made it into a cross. As it stood on top of the mountain, the tallest mountain, the Mount Golgotha, our Lord Jesus hung up on that tree, on that cross, that today when you think about the cross, your eyes get drawn to God and you think about Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In some way, if you think, the trees had big dreams, but God had bigger dreams about them. This morning I want to tell, I don't know what your dreams are, but I'm telling you, like John the Baptist, doesn't matter if our name doesn't come out. Doesn't matter if people don't recognize us, but if they can see Jesus in our life, there's nothing greater than that. Can you close your eyes for a moment? As we are going to go into a time of self-examination. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every one of us, can you close your eyes and bow your heads? I want us this to be a leading position to the Lord's table. As you see the tree on the top of Mount Golgotha, I want you to see the Son of God hanging on three nails on that tree. He used that tree. That tree nobody knows, but that was the cross where Jesus hung. Nobody even pays attention to that wood, but he used the Son of God who would hang there and die for the sins of humankind. Today, what do we want to be? Do you want to be somebody great, or do you want to be used by God? Hallelujah. Can we stand up to lead others to Christ? I want us to close our eyes and just look in our lives and say, Lord, it doesn't matter where we are. In our earthly life, maybe people will not even know us, but we want to attract people to you. Can you just surrender your hearts to the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. I want to submit ourselves and say, Lord, use me mightily in these coming days. Hallelujah. 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 I want us to close our eyes. Hallelujah. Let me pray as we go into the Lord's table at this moment. Hallelujah. Let us come before the Lord's table and say, Lord, I am nothing. I am all because of what you have done for me. Hallelujah. All that I am is all that what you have done for me. Hallelujah.